summary, 39 points. One, the number, even the approximate number, of unsaved people on Earth is not known. Estimates vary. It is conceivable there are as many as 5 billion persons whose names are missing from the Lamb's Book of Life. 2. Jesus taught one soul is more valuable than the entire world. 3. Before leaving planet Earth, the Lord Jesus Christ gave His church the commission to make disciples of all nations. This mandate is often referred to as the Great Commission. 4. To date, the church has failed to accomplish this task, so much so that many of the world's inhabitants have not heard the name of Jesus. 5. Generally, Christians lack love and compassion for the lost multitudes. Only a relative few really care about the masses marching on that wide road leading to destruction. 6. This apathy reveals a lack of love for Christ and a small appreciation for Calvary. 7. The world's greatest enemy is the church's apathy. Because of this apathy, multi-millions will spend their eternity bathing in anguish and remorse. 8. One of the causes of this apathy is the accepted method of collecting and distributing money. This accepted system of collecting and allocating funds is referred to in this book as the system. 9. There are many ill consequences of the system. Not the least is that the system utilizes funds that belong to the Great Commission on other endeavors. This has the effect of depleting the natural passion in men's hearts for soul winning. A man's money and a man's heart go in the same direction. If his money is not being directed toward the Great Commission, neither will his heart be there. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 10. Financing the Great Commission is a very expensive enterprise. However, God has always provided. The necessary funds pass through Christians' lives. Sadly, leadership of local assemblies have learned to extract much of this money from the people, spending nearly all it collects on the care of the assembly. In reality, Christians are merely given to themselves. 11. Each assembly has its master builders. Man is a compulsive builder, itching for a reason to build, to renovate, to expand. Often the builder is the expounder. 12. Some building projects are sanctioned by God. Most are not. Most are built with funds belonging to the Great Commission. Some edifices are nothing more than a monument to a people turned selfish. 13. The system is not sanctioned by God. It is the invention of man. Many Christians have accepted the traditions of men, the system, over the Word of God. When they drop their tenth into Sunday's collection plate, they thereby dissolve themselves of responsibility of being obedient to God's Word. They are no longer responsible to finance the Great Commission, share with fellow believers, feed the poor, etc. 14. The cornerstone of the system is the tithe. Someone has reached over to the other side of Calvary, pulled out the tithe statute from the law, and applied it to the new covenant person. This has been done for illegitimate reasons. 15. The most ardent lobbyists for the tithe and the system are those paid a wage by the system. 16. It is a fact that the Bible does not teach the New Covenant person to tithe. The early church did not tithe. Tithing is foreign to the Father-Son relationship established between God and believer through the New Covenant. 17. To tithe is to choose another way and is therefore a wrongdoing. It is wrong to promote, condone, or collect tithes. 18. If the Great Commission is to be properly financed, the local assemblies must either stop collecting more than its share or forward most of the money it collects into the Great Commission. 19. Regardless if this will ever happen, the individual Christian is responsible to do his part to finance the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit will help the Christian invest wisely. 20. The Christian is not compelled to give all, most, or even much of his givings to the local assembly. 21. Peer pressure is a reality in the body of Christ. Much peer pressure is applied, unintentionally and otherwise, to every individual to conform to the opinions and attitudes and practices of the majority. Both the Bible and history confirm the majority is often wrong. 22. Spiritual bondage is submitting oneself to or being swayed by an individual or a group rather than the Word and the Spirit. Spiritual bondage is lack of freedom to obey God. Most Christians are in spiritual bondage to one degree or another. 23. Many who have been convinced by this book that their spending is contrary to the will of God, and there is a much more fruitful and profitable way of directing their givings, will still in time bow to peer pressure and conform to the will of man. 24. Every Christian is accountable to God. Every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be recompensed for his deeds on earth, good and bad. For some, it will be a most joyous occasion. For others, it will be a time of remorse and embarrassment. 25. A wise Christian considers his life a preparation for Judgment Day. It is important to invest one's substance wisely. Investing money is investing life, the amount of time it takes to earn that money. It is foolishness to allow others to decide how this money should be directed. 26. Money, well invested, will result in the salvation of many. Supporting the evangelist will result in a certain number of people spending their eternity with Christ instead of with Satan and his fallen angels. Everyone can bear much fruit by simply financing the Great Commission. 27. A Christian will be judged for that which has been entrusted to his care. He who has been given little, little is required. He who has been given much, much is required. 28. Christians should not invest in casual men. Many ministers put an undue strain on the gospel by their high standard of living. 29. The Word decrees that those who minister the gospel should make their living from the gospel. 30. The fivefold ministry, that of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, should be equally financed. Denying support to any of these is a detriment to the Great Commission. 31. The system highly favors the pastor. He is the first to challenge Christians after payday, and often he is the only one on salary. For that reason, many sit in the place of pastor who are not called. Because of the lure of a salary, many evangelists turn pastor, leaving fewer to herald the good news of Jesus Christ. 32. It is said over 90% of all licensed ministers serve less than 10% of the world's population. It is the licensed who consume much of the Christians' donations. Some nations have been combed many times with the gospel of Jesus Christ, while others have been barely touched. There are men and women willing to go, but the system is not sympathetic. The Apostle Paul endeavored to take the gospel to lands that had not heard of Christ. More Christians should be likewise minded and direct the bulk of their contributions for the same cause. 33. There seems to be a link between the dedication of the early church and its effectiveness. It was very dedicated and very effective. 34. The Word has much to say about Christians supporting one another, saints sharing with saints, carrying one another's burdens. This helps each to fulfill God's calling on each person's life. This in turn results in the extension of God's kingdom. 35. The Word instructs the Christian to give to the poor. He who does so is actually lending to God. 36. According to the Word, the abundance of one is to meet the needs of others. 37. The plumber and lawyer do not have a right to a higher standard of living than the widow and preacher. 38. The responsibility of the Great Commission has been given to every believer at rebirth. 39. Rich or poor, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. From the author. I have addressed this book to you, the student of the Word. I know you have been challenged, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. And I know you have been honed. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend, Proverbs 27:17. You will not be the same. It shall not return unto me void. Isaiah 55:11. We are much the same, you and I. We both can't. We try hard, but it doesn't work. My way isn't so brilliant after all. We call him Lord, Lord, but go the way that seems right unto a man. We swing on pendulums. We choose the familiar and popular teaching. The trampled path takes little courage. We like to be tickled. But we rise again. We are students of the Word. We tire of conformity for conformity's sake. We demand truth. We want fruit. So we resist peer pressure and submit once again to the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. We ask the vine dresser to prune away silly notions and inferior motives. The majority is often right. The majority is often wrong. They misspend. They lay up treasures on earth. They lack compassion for the lost. they are lukewarm. The one clinging to the group will sometimes be right and sometimes be wrong. It's not easy being a student of the Word. It's easier to build a house on the sand than way up there on the rock. It's fun being a hearer only, to amen everything we hear. The student of the Word challenges the accepted. Chapter and verse, please. We are not always popular. The student of the Word is a doer. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. That is our motive. We know anything less is an ego trip. Knowledge puffs up. 1 Corinthians 8:1. This book is not bad news. It is good news. It was not written to bring condemnation, but rather freedom. Hopefully it will cause you to be better prepared for that day of accountability. I want you to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yes, the truths of this book demand change. Revelation increases accountability. Of him shall be much required. But change only hurts for a little while. You said you wanted to be more productive. Today is your day. You have been pruned by the Word so you can bring forth more fruit. Choosing the Word is choosing Christ. Your obedience will have the benefit of enhancing your relationship with Christ. Where will you go from here? I wish you well. I encourage you to work hard at pressing in. Be satisfied with nothing less than the inner circle of fellowship. There's life in the secret place. To God be the glory.